With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who's going to win you leagues? Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P. Joe Pizzapia. With me today is Derrickson. That's right. Forget Bennifer. No. It's all about Derrickson. Derrick Brown, D-Bro, a.k.a. the King of Bros. Andrew Erickson, Mr. Big Pot Energy himself. And, of course, me, Joey P., taking you through a very important show today because it's about league winners, and that's what you want to do, isn't it? That's why you're here. That's why we spend all of the time and energy to win our leagues. And the boys today are going to give you the names that you need to know to do just that. And it's a very exciting show. We all know that. Also exciting, if you're watching on the YouTube channel, and I know that you are, you're seeing the new Joey P dark mode setup that is going to be taking you through the whole season, which I think is very exciting. It's very David Bowie Space Oddity kind of a feel to it. So I just want to make sure, Erickson, are you adjusting to Joey P on dark mode?
I'm happy for you. I'm finally happy you've gone over to the dark side, joined us. It's where it's at.
No. This is ground control to Major Tom. I want to know, Derrick Brown, have I really made the grade now, like Andrew Erickson is saying?
You look pretty today, Joe. I mean, I got to say, I logged in here and I thought I was going to be talking to Daughtry, but, you know, I mean, the singing as well. I mean, you're definitely checking all the boxes today.
I'm a man of many talents, Derrick. I'm a man of many talents. Few very good, but just you can have talents. They're not very high on the trough of talent, but CD Lamb is very high on the trough of talent. We're trying to give away a CD Lamb jersey. So make sure if you haven't already, you go over to fantasypros.com/contest and check out the new contest we have running. Thanks to our friends at pristineauction.com. We've got that CD Lamb autographed jersey giveaway. Spectacular. One of our favorite players here on the podcast. We're very excited about the prospects of him for 2022. So make sure you check that out there. Again, that is over at our fantasypros.com/contest. But the only way to get involved in that is if you subscribe to our YouTube channel. So let's go. Go to youtube.com/fantasypros. You can see the Joey P. David Bowie mashup over there. And of course, subscribe. Click that little bell for notifications till it goes ding. And then you go ahead and screenshot that bad boy. Go to the contest site at fantasybros.com/contest. And just like that, you could be entered to win. You go make a comment over here on the video. You tell us who your league winners are. It's fun. It's interactive. That's what we do here on the show. So check that out. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. We've got Fantasy Fest coming up in a couple of weeks. We've got amazing short form videos. All the pods are going to be here. We're going to have live stream mock drafts this week too. So check that out. That's very exciting. Tomorrow we got a live stream mock draft. We're going to have mock drafts with our listeners, our Discord people too. So many fun things. Just really, you want to be a part of it here. Trust me. So speaking of being a part of things, I like players that are parts of winning teams. So let's talk a little bit about that. We're going to go back and forth here. We'll do a little countdown style, too, from 5 to 1. And we'll start with Andrew Erickson. Andrew, give me your number 5 league-winning player for 2022.
Going to go with Patriots running back Ramondre Stevenson. And I think my favorite stat nugget when it comes to Stevenson is looking at the highest-graded rookie running backs over the past 5 seasons per PFF. Alvin Kamara in 2017, Nick Chubb 2018, Josh Jacobs in 2019, Jonathan Taylor in 2020, and last year, Ramondre Stevenson. All those guys in their second year were top eight running backs or better. Now, the pathway for Stevenson is not as clear as it was for those players because he's not even the starting running back of his own team. But I think that the talent for Stevenson, a big-bodied running back that can also catch passes, is a recipe for success in fantasy football. And I think it's just a matter of time before Stevenson takes over this backfield, over Damien Harris, who's going to experience some touchdown regression this year in a negative way. And I think that Stevenson, if an injury happens, is going to be a league-winning running back. So that's my pick at number five, going with the homer pick.
What a surprise. I'm sure everyone is shocked by that selection. But in all honesty, that is some really great company. RB37 right now in the ECR, fantasypros.com. And Stevenson certainly has that ability. But, you know, even, you know, we talk about the opportunity. But Erickson, you know, we know this is a team that wants to run the football, too. And is going to be continuously running that offense through the backs. So even if some of the opportunity might be a little bit more limited than we want, at RB37 right now, it still seems like a pretty good value and one of the better, as you might say, handcuffs or secondary backs you might be able to invest in. I think that's what's so appealing, right? This guy's a league winner potentially, and you don't have to invest in him as an RB2 even right now.
Yeah, and I think the term with league winner is I look at it as a player that if somebody just asked me on the street, hey, Andrew, who do I draft this year? I'm going to say Ramondre Stevenson. And there's at that price, there's no reason that you can't draft him in every single draft that you're in. Now, obviously, someone is more aggressive than you. I think I got actually sniped on Stevenson in one of our Discord mock drafts because we have a savvy audience in the Discord chat.
So. Those Discord mocks that we run every day. Like, if you're somebody who loves to mock draft with us, one of us is running I do two, three sometimes a day with our Discord audience. So you should join at fantasybros.com/chat. It's free to join. But that is a tough room, man. It is tougher than drafting against the bots for sure. They know what they're doing. You're 100% right. I want to pretend I'm man on the street for a second myself, Erickson. I'm going to go and pretend to Derek Brown. I'm a man on the street. Excuse me, Mr. Brown. I've seen you from Fantasy Pros. I know you're super famous. Very excited. I know your cousin too, AJ Brown. We go way back. I just wanted to ask you this question. How do you define league winner?
Basically, that's going to be a player that is a difference maker for you throughout the fantasy season, whether you get him in later rounds or you're paying up for him in the first, second round of your draft. It's the difference makers that are going to bring home the championship for you this year, Joe.
Mm-hmm. All right. I like that. Thanks, man. Could you sign my hat? Okay. let's go to one of yours. Let's go to number five on your list, Derek Brown. Who you got as a potential league winner in 2022?
I almost put Ramondre Stevenson on this list, man. So I'm glad to hear that out of Erickson, but maybe I'm the Joey P bot today because the first player I got to bring up here is Sky Moore. And look, I understand that people don't know what to make out of the Kansas City passing attack. That's fine. That's great. That's grand. It's not Juju Smith-Schuster. I'm just going to lay that out there real fast. Sky Moore can be that dude in his rookie season. And I just don't understand why more people are not higher on him. Like, if you look at this Kansas City depth chart, outside of Travis Kelce, we're legitimately talking about they signed a one-year deal to a slot wide receiver that's a declining player. You have another free agent that's changing teams and the history of free agency. Oh, wait, they got two of those. The history of free agent wide receivers changing teams is not great, but, you know, we're willing to give Juju and MVS a pass, as well as we have a fourth-year wide receiver that has never established himself on this passing attack any year, and people are not willing to buy into Sky Moore. I think he can be that league-winning type of draft pick that can take home the gold for you this year. And a lot of this comes down to not just, okay, it's Kansas City, not just, oh, he's tied to Patrick Mahomes. Sky Moore is that type of prospect. If you go all the way back, 91st percentile college dominator, 99th percentile collegiate target share, as well as the dude was eighth in yards per route run last year. Now you marry all of this with the Kansas City passing attack and the scoring upside that this offense has, and Sky Moore is going way too late. Like, if you head over Fantasy Pros, you're looking at my rankings. I've got him as a top 36 wide receiver, and you're going to have so much Sky Moore in your drafts.
Yeah.
It's going to be beautiful.
Well, he's at 57 right now on the ECR, and that's why I have him in so many drafts for all the reasons you put out there. And if it doesn't happen in the first month of the season, then you can cut him and you can move on if you need to. That's fine. But to me, it's that return on investment, the upside in the offense, the fact the quarterback's so good, the fact that there's a void created by Tyreek Hill. And look, maybe it is Juju who fills it. Maybe it is MVS who fills it. We don't know for sure. But we do know is we're talking about investments you have to make to find out who that guy is. And there's no reason not to think this guy Moore isn't the best, or I should say the cheapest ROI of all the guys on that board right now. So it makes a lot of sense to me. And I've been very pro Sky Moore. Had he played at a bigger school, Derek, I feel like we'd be talking more about him, don't you think?
If he'd go into an SEC school, he would be the talk of the town. People would be talking about him the same way they talk about all these other rookie wide receivers. And I don't get it, Joe. Like, everybody was like, oh, besides the fact that Jamar Chase couldn't catch balls with white stripes on him last year.
For like a week, he couldn't. Yeah,
exactly. Like, if Sky Moore would have gone to a big school and such, and he goes in the top two rounds of drafts, and he goes to Kansas City, tell me why people wouldn't be drafting him as a top 40 wide receiver and buying into the talent. And they're like, oh, well, maybe I could shade him because he went to a small school. Oh, well, I shouldn't be too high. Jerry Rice went
to a small school, too. Just want to point that out to people. Just as a friendly reminder, there's been some great wide receivers that went to small schools. Sometimes that just happens where guys get recruited and, you know, certain things click and in certain moments in their life. It's just different. All right. Let's see what clicks here in the moment for Andrew Erickson. Who's your number four league winner potentially here?
Running back, Los Angeles Rams, Cam Akers. I'm looking for the touchdown equity for some of these running backs I can get in the middle rounds. And no one screams positive touchdown regression like Mr. Cam Akers. Looking at last year, Darrell Henderson and Sony Michel combined for the second most red zone touches among running backs last season. So Cam Akers is going to be in that role. I don't see any reason why it would not be Akers in the RB1 role for Sean McVay, which last year, whether it was Henderson or Michel, that running back was seeing 20 plus touches per game. So I think Akers is going to be in that role this year. And you're just looking at how many touchdowns the Rams scored through the air last year. They had the highest percentage of passing touchdowns in the NFL last season. And it was vastly different than it had been the previous 3 years with Sean McVay, where they were top eight in terms of rushing touchdown percentage versus passing touchdown percentage. Now, obviously the quarterback change has something to do with it, but I'm just betting on Cooper Kupp not catching 18 touchdowns again. Hot take. You know, it's really hard to repeat. And those touchdowns reverting to rushing, because I don't think the Rams offense is necessarily going to take a step back because all the main pieces are still there. I just think how they score is going to be different with a healthy running back, a better running back that Sean McVay actually trusts in Cam Akers. I think that he's going to pay off as a middle round pick this year and be someone that in an ilk of like a James Conner where the dude, oh, he scored like 15 touchdowns. Oh, right. Great. That was awesome.
And it's funny, Andrew, because you know me, I'm very early wide receiver heavy in all of our drafts. That's how I go. He's one of those dudes that falls in at ECR RB18 on fantasypros.com, right next to Breece Hall and Travis Etienne and these guys that and J.K. Dobbins. I go, yeah, I'll take two of these guys later in the third and fourth round after I double up on wide receiver to start things. Yeah, I feel really good about, you know, the offenses they might be in, the opportunities. And look, right now as RB18, what do you think the ceiling is for him where he might finish potentially because of the offense he's in and because of the opportunity he might get if he is indeed that three down back?
I mean, I definitely think that he can be a top 10 running back. You know, maybe he's not someone that can get into the top three because of how much talent there is on the Rams offense. Like, I don't think Cooper Kupp is just going to immediately disappear and Matthew Stafford is still going to throw a bunch of touchdowns. And there are question marks about how much Akers will be used as a pass catcher. Just, they have a lot of talent on that roster. So maybe top three is a little aggressive, but with the high powered offense, I think that you can definitely see him going top five or even top, or probably top five would probably be the ceiling for Cam Akers. But at the value you're getting him, I think it's worth it.
All right, let's go to another player with a high ceiling. Derek Brown, your number four league winner in 2022.
Talked about him. Not going to shut up now. I mean, come on, y'all giving me the pulpit here. Jalen Hurts, man.
Preach.
Look, he could easily have an MVP type of season this year, and all the shade and people don't want to hear it. But if you look at Jalen Hurts' production last year, he showed us this type of ceiling, and if he takes another step forward, which he showed last year at the end of the season that he can as a passer, I mean, the sky's the limit, man. Like, he could put up the type of numbers we saw from Lamar Jackson in MVP season. You look at Hurts last year.
I have a question for you. Before, just because you gave me the opening, I just want to ask this. I saw our boss, Matthew Friedman, make a post about, you know, the only guy who can throw for 4,000 yards and rush for 1,000 is Kyler Murray. He made that he made that statement. That was a statement. It's true. It must be true because I saw it on Twitter. So it has to be true. I have a question. Is there a universe where Jalen Hurts could be that guy? Just curiosity. Or do you think he falls short in both of those?
I think, I don't know if he gets to the 5K, but I think he can get
4K.
To
4K. It was 4K. Much lower.
Yes.
4K and 1,000 yards. That was the mm-hmm. threshold.
He could get to 4K. And if you look at the pace that he was on last year, weeks 1 through 7, he was on pace for over 4,100 passing yards last year. So if that picks up this season, and everybody talks about what the Eagles did at the beginning of the season, and they talk about, oh, their passing rates, and oh, this is what the team did. The one thing that keeps getting glossed over, and I have to illuminate this fact, because I put this out on Twitter, because again, you know it must be true, Joe.
It has to be true. I mean,
weeks 1 through 7, the Eagles' offense was first in neutral pace, sixth in no huddle rate, and even when they were behind in games, they were sixth in trailing pace. So even if you don't want to sit here and say, okay, the Eagles are going to throw at a top five, top six clip, okay? That's fine. That's okay. That's okay. You don't have to believe that. If they get that much play volume, guys, they're top three in pace, they could be 12th, they could be 16th in passing rate. And the passing volume is going to surprise in this offense, and the touchdown regression, because we love to talk about regression. The touchdown mm-hmm. regression in the passing department is coming for Jalen Hurts. Out of 33 quarterbacks with 200 or more passing attempts last year, he was 23rd in passing touchdown rate. So you add A.J. Brown, you got Devontae Smith entering his second season, you have Dallas Goedert, who is still an elite efficiency monster, and you marry all of that, and this team could be top five in neutral pace. The play volume surprises, and oh my Lord, Hurts runs? Because he was almost on pace before the injury last year of 1,000 rushing yards. And Jalen Hurts is going to explode and just eviscerate your league opponents in fantasy football this year.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Buffalo Wild Wings. The best place to host your fantasy draft this year is at Buffalo Wild Wings. Book now in advance at buffalowildwings.com/fantasy and get half off on all the bar food appetizers during your draft party. That includes nachos, buffalo chicken tots, everything pretzel knots, mozzarella sticks, fried pickles, you name it, they got it. Buffalo Wild Wings has great deals on beers too. $3 tall house beers, $4 domestic beers of the month, and $5 craft beers. This year, Buffalo Wild Wings is also putting together the League Loser Package. That's right. The League Losers are going to be on the hot seat. The first 20 draft parties at each Buffalo Wild Wings location gets a fantasy football punishment pack. And in that punishment pack, you're going to get 6 free boneless wings with the hottest sauce ever blazing. And a bib to wear that says last place in big letters so the whole bar will know just how bad that person is at fantasy football. Plus a certificate of underachievement that's worthy of being framed. Not to mention free coupons for the whole league to come back during the football season. So don't forget to book in advance at buffalowildwings.com/fantasy. Again, that's buffalowildwings.com/fantasy. Spots fill up fast. Make sure you grab one for draft day before they're gone. And now back to the action.
You know, some people say, oh, Derek Brown's got hot takes. I always say, no, he doesn't. He's got takes that are backed up on stats every single time. I mean, you might not like them. You might not agree with maybe the trajectory of those stats, but the stats are there to back up the opinions. And that's what we're trying to do here. We're not just, you know, we're never that show. And I love that about you guys. We're never that show. That's just like, I think this because no, there's always something to back it up. And speaking of regression, let's go back to you, Andrew Erickson. Who is your next guy on your list at number 3 that you think could be a potential league winner this year?
I'm going to go back. Third running back here. I love my running backs. I'm going to go with Travis Etienne for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think that he's going to have a great opportunity from the get-go in the Jaguars offense with James Robinson coming back from that late torn Achilles injury. Everyone is freaking out about Cam Akers and coming in. Even though he already came back to play in the NFL, still haven't seen James Robinson get on the field. So even if Robinson is on the field, how effective is he going to be? Is he going to be used in the passing game? How explosive is he going to be? I don't have those concerns about Etienne coming off of his injury, which he's had an entire season, entire offseason to rehab from. And when you build a fantasy football running back in a lab, what do you want? Explosiveness, pass catching ability. That's what Etienne has. And he also has rapport with his quarterback, Trevor Lawrence. He caught over 100 passes from Trevor Lawrence at Clemson. And I think what's being underrated about Etienne is actually how often he was used at the goal line at Clemson as well. Most carries inside the 5-yard line from 2018 to 2020. So yeah, maybe he isn't touching the ball 25 times per game, like as a slightly undersized running back. But the high value touches that actually turn into fantasy points, that's what Travis Etienne is going to get in this pass heavy offense under Doug Peterson. So I love Etienne as a breakout running back in these middle rounds. You know, he's one of the dead zone running backs that I actually will draft and feel good about because he's only going where he's going because of the unknown. It's
you
not
think
because
that's the dead zone. I think that's the hot zone. We just talked about it. It was Cam Akers. It was Travis Etienne. It was Breece Hall. These seem like all your favorite things.
Yeah, but Montgomery still goes in that round. Zeke goes in those rounds too.
Well, you can't have everything you want, you know. But I'm just saying, I named three good guys. You named two negative ones. Why are you always going to be so negative?
I mean, you got to point out the landmines. you gotta sidestep the landmines. Whoa, Zeke! Whoa, watch out! Don't step on the lava, which is Zeke.
Don't step on the lava. Oh, goodness gracious! But you know what's funny to me, Andrew? Too, you hear sometimes people who are out there saying, "Oh, it doesn't matter. That's overrated." That Lawrence and Etienne played together and had success. I'm like, if you say that, then you never played sports, and chances are you never played football. Like, I feel like that is such a silly remark for people to make. I understand perhaps it's based in the idea of, well, that was a different system with different talent and different opponents. And yes, that is fair. But the comfortability factor of knowing a guy, knowing the timing, having that trust level on the field in big moments, that does matter. That is important. Heck, that's the reason why Davante Adams, one of the best wide receivers on the planet, decided he wanted to go and play with Derek Carr again because he felt good about it. I mean, he's been trying to get there apparently for 2 years. That stuff matters, Andrew. Do you think that despite obviously shortcomings in that Jaguars offense potentially this year, that connection between those two guys is something that could be potentially prolific and a league winner? Because it feels like that end of the equation could actually be open for folks.
I do. And I think too, you know, looking at offenses that, you know, we're not sure about, we have question marks that, you know, are they going to take a step or is it going to be below average? You know, Jacksonville, I'm not going to come on here and say, oh, well, they're at an elite offense. You got to have pieces right. of like, that's not necessarily the case, but it is an offense that you definitely think can improve from what they did last year. You have a quarterback that is talented, you know, obviously struggled last year under the last year's coaching personnel, but when you look at these running backs that thrive in bad offensive systems or bad offensive environments, it's usually because they have a three-down skill set and can catch passes. Like, that's kind of the cheat code of how to get or overcome a bad situation as a running back. Do you catch passes in the passing game? And we know that Etienne has that skill set. Now, we've been wrong before about certain running backs, you know, being used in the passing game, Antonio Gibson, to the extent that we want them to be. So that's always a case with Etienne, but that's why you don't have to draft him in the second round. Like, you can draft him in round four and sometimes even round five. And I think one thing I want to point out as well, you're looking at Doug Peterson and kind of, you know, his track record has been a lot of running back by committee. But even if you go back to Miles Sanders rookie year, Miles Sanders was RB15 as a rookie on a 53% snap share. Are you guys pounding the over on Etienne having at least a 53% snap share next year? I mean, I'm taking the over on that. So if Sanders could get RB15 as a rookie, as a second round pick, I think Etienne could get there at least with Robinson coming off the injury.
All right, Derek Brown, back over to you. Who's your number three potential league winner this year?
So I know I'm paying up and I'm going with a guy that's going in the first round here. But we've discussed this on previous shows, guys. He's still not going high enough. And there are a lot of drafts where you can get him towards the back end of the first round. And if you're taking that swing and you want the home run, you got to be saddling up with Dalvin Cook this year. I absolutely love him. And I still believe, and I've discussed it before on previous shows, he has RB1 overall in his range of outcomes. A lot of this you could point to, oh, he's been fantastic in previous seasons. RB9 last year, but RB2 in the previous 2 years. And for all the injury concerns that people want to talk about, the guy has played 13 or more games in each of the last few seasons. Now, you marry this with the Minnesota Vikings passing attack and their offense, and we think it's going to take another step forward this year. We believe with new coaching staff and Zimmer is poof, gone. I love Dalvin Cook this year because the other thing about it is touchdown regression is coming for Dalvin Cook. You look at how efficient he's been in the red zone over the last few seasons. He was 12th and 19th. In red zone touchdown conversion rate over the two previous seasons where he was the RB2, that fell to 38th last year. So we're talking about this offense is supposedly still going to be fast-paced. you have a running back that has touchdown regression that is screaming at you. And oh my Lord, he's been also, Andrew talked about, like, Erickson mentioned this, and it is huge to point out. We want running backs that are involved in the passing game and that are really, really good in the passing game. Mm-hmm. And that's what Dalvin Cook has shown us. Like, he was 11th and 8th in yards per route run before it cratered last year. If the Vikings' offense can be what we think it can be, and Dalvin Cook hits the button on touchdown regression, sky's the limit, man. He could be the RB1 well, overall this year.
And more to the point, too, he's one of the few elite backs that the guy behind him is really good that you can actually go spend a round earlier pick on than maybe he's going just to lock him in because you've seen the productivity. You've seen he can be very good in the offense. Whereas some of the other guys, too, like the top elite guys, D-Bro, you know, when you go to the next guy in the depth chart, it is not like that. It is not that situation. So is that also something that makes Dalvin Cook maybe more appealing because the situation of ensuring that first round pick and big time productivity is a little bit clearer of a path?
Yeah, I think it's definitely worth it, man. I think like we've seen what Alexander Mattison can do in this offense whenever Dalvin Cook has been out. Mm-hmm. So you want to take the swing on him later in drafts and you want to make the hedge bet against Dalvin Cook. I get it. But this is all to say that the Vikings offense is going to be fantastic this year.
Well, he's the only one you can hedge on, right? Yep. I mean, you can't really hedge on CMC all that much. I mean, maybe. Nope. I mean, Foreman's okay. But, like, you know, I mean, look at the rest of these guys. I mean, what's the drop-off from Jonathan Taylor? What's the drop-off from Joe Mixon? What's the drop-off, like, you go to these guys? Like, what's the drop-off from Saquon Barkley and all top running backs that you think could be, like, huge guys in offenses? You know, after that guy gets hurt, I don't know who that is. And I think that's a problem, whereas the Dalvin Cook situation in Minnesota – and Kevin O'Connell, I think, is one of those coaches, too. He was one of my favorite coaching candidates going into last year. So I have big expectations for him also. Let's talk about another guy we have big expectations for. Who is your number two league winner, Andrew Erickson?
Big Mike Williams, Los Angeles Chargers. You know, you talk about who's going to be this year's Cooper Kupp. And at least at the start of last year, right behind Cooper Kupp through the first 5 weeks of the season and fantasy points scored at wide receiver, was Mike Williams. It was Kupp number one, Mike Williams number two, but then he tweaked his knee. He tweaked his knee after week five, and things kind of fell off a cliff, and his production went back to being super volatile. That's why he was voted the most boomer bust player back in our Fantasy Family Feud contest, which I got correct, by the way, as the reigning champion.
Clock is, even a broken clock is right twice.
Okay. Hey, so. I came up with the W. That's all that really matters. So with Mike Williams, I think that he left a lot of production on the table last year. He was sixth in the NFL in end zone targets, but only caught five for touchdowns. Again, touchdowns win titles. Like, it's one of the biggest things of why Cooper Kupp was such a big difference maker last year, because he caught so many freaking touchdowns. And hitting right on the touchdown variance, which is the hardest thing to project from these high-powered offenses, that's how you find these level jumpers. Why Mike Williams could be a potential second-round pick next year if he goes out and catches 15 touchdowns. We know he has the skill set. He's a big-bodied red zone weapon. Like, he has 40 end zone targets over the past 3 years, but he's only converted less than 10 for touchdowns. So he's so overdue for the amount of volume he's seeing in the red zone. We know Keenan Allen's not necessarily this big red zone guy where you have Mike Williams. I mean, his nickname is Big Mike Williams for a reason. So I think that he is a player who finished as a wide receiver one at the same rate as Keenan Allen did last year. And if you actually just count all the weeks one through 18, Mike Williams outscored Keenan Allen. So it's not outlandish to think that, okay, you add that extra week in from last year. Okay, Mike Williams was already outscoring Keenan Allen. Yes, Allen is going to be way more consistent from a week-to-week basis. But to give you that league-winning upside, I'm always drafting Mike Williams over Keenan Allen for that reason, especially in the best ball format, where I don't necessarily need to project which week he's going to blow up.
Right.
But I think this year, you're going to see more consistency from Mike Williams. You're going to see those blow-up weeks continue to be sprinkled in throughout.
He is wide receiver 18 right now in the ECR, and that is an incredible value for sure. As somebody who was in on Mike Williams before it was cool, that's this guy, Joey P, I had a very tumultuous relationship with this player, not personally, just professionally, where I was so excited about him coming into the NFL. In the first couple of years, you saw those moments, you saw what he could do in the red zone, and then I felt like, you know, the offensive line was so bad, and Phillip Rivers at the time seemed like he was in decline, and it just felt like things were just going in the wrong direction. I have renewed my faith in Mike Williams because of Herbert more than anything else. I think people continuously don't give Justin Herbert enough credit, and I was one of them because I thought he was a little bit more of a project, as did most people coming out of the draft. what he's been able to do in these first 2 years in the NFL is darn near historic. I don't know if you're looking at these stats this guy's putting up in the categories of the players he's with. I feel like he's not getting the credit. Everyone talks about Josh Allen as they should. Everyone's talking about Mahomes. People like to talk about Lamar. Derek Brown talks about Jalen Hurts exclusively here on this show. There's a lot of people that talk about other quarterbacks, but I don't feel like anybody talks about Justin Herbert enough. And I think that in and of itself is a reason why people have to pay more attention to Mike Williams and what the upside is, because Herbert has been elite now for 2 years. And this is going to be a very exciting potential third season for this offense. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Pristine Auction. PristineAuction.com is the most trusted sports memorabilia auction site with an A+ Better Business Bureau rating and auctions over Pristine Auction starting at just $1 each day. There's over 1,000 autographed items available, so you can get signed, authentic, signatured items at affordable prices. And just last week, an autographed Justin Herbert jersey sold for just $110. What? Deals like this are happening all the time on PristineAuction.com, and they've got just about every player you could want, including Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, and many more. Every item on PristineAuction.com comes with a certificate of authenticity from the industry's most reputable authenticators, and you can upgrade your collection of signed memorabilia today and get $10 off your first item whenever you use that promo code FANTASYPROS. Again, that's one word, FANTASYPROS. Be sure to sign up now because there are deals ending every single day. Again, that's code FANTASYPROS for $10 off your first piece of signed memorabilia at PristineAuction.com. And now, back to the action. Derek Brown, give me another guy on your list. Who is your number two league winner potentially in 2022?
Break out the horn. I got to sing the good praise. Of Michael Pittman, baby. I mean, look, we're talking about guys that could be this year's Cooper Kupp. Who's competing with Michael Pittman?
Did you become
Pittman
an evil
targets?
Villain there for a second? What happened? That's my job. You're quasi evil. You're semi evil.
I mean, look, Joe, I have to sit here and give people all the cheat codes so they can be the evil genius in their fantasy drafts. And Michael Pittman is definitely one of those. I mean, who is competing with him in the Colts passing attack for targets?
Harris, I mean, Campbell, it's, and Alec Pierce.
Yes,
that is,
yes,
the answer.
And he Wally Cox. It's insane, guys. I mean, look, Michael Pittman showed us this type of ceiling at the beginning of last year, catching hospital balls from Carson Wentz on a weekly basis. Before the Colts decided, we're not going to put the ball in Carson Wentz's hands, you and Mike Williams was flirting with top 12 status. Now you have Matt Ryan coming to town, and we've seen what Pittman can do with bad quarterback play. Ryan's going to sit here and raise all the boats in this offense. And Pittman last year, he was one of only four wide receivers, four, count them on one hand, that finished top 12 in route win rate overall versus man coverage and zone coverage. This is all to say that Michael Pittman is fantastic. We're going to see him get the volume bump by a better quarterback this year, better, more catchable targets, and the type of efficiency he showed last year. Even if you go head over to Reception Perception and check out everything that Matt Harmon's doing over there, you have Pittman that was 79th percentile against man, 88th against zone, and 96th percentile against press. The man can win on the inside, outside, all over the field. The sky's the limit for Pittman this year. He is going to gobble up a ton of volume.
Now, I'm a big Pittman guy too. I know Andrew is also. I'm going to ask this question because we made a joke of it. Who else is around? But does the fact that he doesn't have a really good secondary established target around hurt Michael Pittman at all? Because from a defensive standpoint, even though the division's a little soft, it's very easy to game plan to take Michael Pittman away. You double cover him, you bring in safety help. You can do lots of things with Michael Pittman, even though he could beat you off the line, even though he could do all the things you're talking about. Does the lack of a true second respectable, believable option hinder the upside potentially of Michael Pittman?
I don't think so. I mean, who was he competing with last year? Who was the guy that was going to take targets?
Right, but he wasn't a wide receiver one last year. I guess that's the point. And I know he had Carson Wentz, a different situation quarterback, but you see what I'm saying, right? I mean, from a football standpoint, you know, Cooper Kupp, it did have Robert Woods on the other side. You know, Jamar Chase did have T. Higgins. You know, Justin Jefferson does have Adam Thielen. You know, it's very important that you're able as an offense to make the defense play to you a little bit more, that you keep them honest. The Colts have a little bit of a problem there. I mean, sure, Jonathan Taylor is a great player, But outside Jonathan Taylor, you know, nobody else in that passing game we really, you know, believe in yet to step up. Until that happens, is that something that potentially, and again, I'm playing devil's advocate, caps Michael Pittman's upside?
I don't think so, guys. I think he's just that he's that freaking good. And not only that, I think I give credit to Frank Reich and that he is legitimately a good head coach. And they can move Pittman around the formation, too. Like, we've seen him mostly been as an outside wide receiver. If they were to put him and move him into the slot as well, like if he's getting bracketed or double covered, Pittman can absolutely destroy linebackers and nickel corners, too. So I'm not worried about it, because last year we also saw him flirt with that top 12 status when who was flanking him last year, guys? Paris Campbell was out there, the ghost of T.Y. Hilton.
It was, and he was still Zach putting Pascal. Up, hello.
Okay, Zach Pascal's really good at run blocking, but a target commanding and coverage pulling presence.
You're right, but he didn't reach that level. Okay, I think it's a good conversation. We all love the player. We love the opportunity. I think at the end of the day, it's just one thing. But it's funny when you start to peel down. You know, I mentioned Kupp and Jefferson and Chase. You know, Diggs had some other guy. I mean, you know, you could say what you want about Beasley and some of the other pieces historically, but still, there were some other guys they could throw the ball to. CD Lamb still had Amari Cooper around. Mike Evans had Chris Godwin. It's funny, as you go down the list, you start seeing like, wow, you know, the top 10 guys really do have a second banana. You know, even Tyreek Hill always had Travis Kelce. I can call Travis Kelce the number one banana. That's fair too. But it is an interesting piece that, you know, no matter how great the quarterback is, no matter how great the volume is and the opportunity, you know, when you don't have that other respectable target, at least in the offense, it does make you easier to defend. Luckily, they play in the AFC South, though, so I guess that's more to the point, so it's not going to be as hard. By the way, speaking of defense, don't forget the IDP show coming back this year with Scott Boggan and myself. Very exciting. Year two of the IDP show for those of you who play. Get excited. All right, here we go. This is what you've all been waiting for. The number one league winners. We're going to have some honorable mentions after two, so make sure you stick around for that. Don't just run out the door and start doing drafts right after the ones. So, Andrew Erickson, who is your number one must have league winner for 2022?
Drum roll, please. Cortland Sutton, Denver Broncos, wide receiver.
I'm shocked by this selection. So this weird. Came out of nowhere. Cinderella story. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I just try to be consistent. You know, that's really my main goal here is to be consistent. So I like Cortland Sutton to be this year's Cooper Kupp. Yeah, I think that he has the potential to lead the NFL in red zone targets like Kupp did last year. You have the upgraded quarterback with Russell Wilson coming in. Russell Wilson, with him at quarterback in Seattle, a Seattle wide receiver has finished top five in red zone targets for the past three seasons, whether it would be Metcalf or Tyler Lockett. So you have a quarterback that's willing to target these wide receivers to give them touchdown equity. Going back to how do you find a player with league-breaking potential who's going to score 15 touchdowns? Like, that's the easiest way to do it. You don't even need to necessarily worry about how many yards they get or how many catches they get. Touchdowns give you so many freaking points in fantasy football. So it really makes a big difference. And I think that Sutton, as someone that's already profiled as a red zone monster in 2019, he led all wide receivers in target rate per route run inside the 10-yard line. And when you look at Nathaniel Hackett, last 2 years, that offense in Green Bay has ranked top three in passing touchdown percentage. So you have a quarterback that likes to throw the ball into the end zone. You have a offensive play caller now coming in, a new head coach that likes to throw the ball into the end zone. And it's also kind of playing off of, you know, the Javonte Williams, Melvin Gordon thing, where people are drafting them because they think they have more touchdown upside. I don't necessarily think that's the case, because I think the touchdowns are going to go through the air. Russell Wilson didn't go to Denver to hand the ball off and not throw touchdowns. The dude wants to put up stats because he knows that he is a good quarterback. So I think that Sutton is going to be the one that benefits the most. I think he's going to be on the field on three receiver sets and two wide receiver sets. So I think that gives him an advantage over guys like Jerry Jeudy and Tim Patrick. And even last year, he still showed that he was effective when he was the leading guy, 27% target share weeks 2 through 7. So people are writing him off after a bad second half because Teddy Bridgewater was the quarterback. Okay, so you're going to compare Teddy Bridgewater to Russell Wilson, two guys that couldn't be like any more different in my opinion. You know, Teddy Bridgewater doesn't ever throw the ball to the end zone. So,
it's true.
So how are you going to have a productive Cortland Sutton, where Russell Wilson, I think, unlocks that. And I think Nathaniel Hackett unlocks it as well. So for me, I think that Cortland Sutton is, I'm going to have him in every single draft I'm in. And I would recommend that the listeners do as well.
Yeah, I would recommend drafting if you're drafting right before Andrew Erickson, just taking Sutton right before him. That is my favorite thing. When Andrew goes on tilt in any of these shows, when the bots take Sutton before him, it is awesome. Is there a world, Andrew, though, where, again, I'm trying to rain on everyone's parade, I guess because it's early this morning. That's the mood I'm in. This is what happens. See, me in the morning is like, I'm just throwing cold water on everything. Me at night, hilarious, no filter. Like, wait till you get to the Fantasy Pros After Dark stuff that we do. That's really where the ratings go through the roof. But, you know, just like you had DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett together, and it was like one guy one week and one guy another week. And, you know, both guys were right in there in terms of, you know, really good fantasy wide receivers. But at the end of the day, there wasn't one guy that really propelled themselves massively forward. Is that the same potential situation here in Denver because you have Judy and because you have Cortland Sutton? Realistically, I know you are a Sutton guy, but is there a world where both these guys are just kind of right on the outside of wide receiver one looking in because every week it's just going to be a different flavor?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's possible in the range of outcomes, but when I looked at a lot of historical data based on these receivers that really break out, they have a sample size of actually doing something in the NFL. And Jerry Jeudy just doesn't have that yet. Like, and I know
Jerry Jeudy's also played with Drew Locke. He's also played with Teddy Bridgewater.
What did Cortland Sutton play with the last 2 years? Drew Locke and Teddy Bridgewater.
Bingo. He's had one great year. I mean, and I was the guy who had Cortland Sutton the one great year. So like, I was all in on it. So it's not that I don't like Cortland Sutton. I'm just looking at this as like the most frustrating week to week. I feel like this is my DFS team I want to go to every week, because if I get it, if it's Sutton this week and I get it right, it's awesome. And if I have the other share that's Judy and they're the same cost, I'm all in. But from a season-long fantasy standpoint, I struggle a little bit with this offense because I don't know who is going to be week to week. And I don't think any of us know if there's a favorite. And if it turns out to be option C and Tim Patrick, which I think would be very surprising, but there's going to be a couple of those weeks too. We all know it. We're all going to sit back and be pretty pissed off. And in season-long fantasy, I think that's something to think about.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
You are the host.
That's my job.
Ooh, no, okay. I'm the tables have turned here on this morning recording.
Let's go. I'm ready.
All right. So just, you know, who profiles as an alpha wide receiver? Jerry Jeudy or Cortland Sutton? Like straight up alpha. Is an alpha wide receiver? When you think alpha, what do you think? Do you think a guy that looks like Jerry Jeudy or you think a guy that looks like Cortland Sutton?
You're right. In terms of look, yes. In terms of look and body type, yes. But I'm old enough to see other guys who are able to fit that other bill necessarily and still from a volume standpoint make that up. So if Sutton's the touchdown guy and Jeudy becomes the volume guy, at the end of the day, they're both 1As because they cap each other. I guess that's that you fell right into my trap yet again. I mean, I feel like that's my only concern with this offense. And I like it. And I like, look, I think what we're all saying is Cortland Sutton at wide receiver 21 is a value. There's no way not to see him because I think he's much closer to 12 than 21. Would we all agree on that? Potentially, yeah. When we look up at the stats at the end of the year, he's closer to 12 than 21. That's all you need to know. That can win you a league right there. When you have a guy who, you know, you draft as a wide receiver 2, but can finish as a 1. When you draft as a wide receiver 3, can finish as a 2. Any of those guys, I'll give you a perfect for instance. Last year, Jalen Waddle, I drafted him as my wide receiver 4 everywhere. Guess what? Any team that I had Jalen Waddle was a playoff team. Why? Because the value I got from him jumping not one tier, but 2 is enormous. That wins you leagues. Derek Brown, give me another player that's going to win leagues for people. Your number one dude in 2022.
The player that I want in every single draft, and you can get him in every single draft because he's not going in the first round. Saquon Barkley. I'm going right back to the well. Love him this year. If I'm not making the bets on Dalvin Cook being the RB1 overall, it could easily be Saquon. And people are like, oh, but I've been burned in previous seasons because of Joe Judge and injuries and all these different things. People really quickly forget how amazing Saquon Barkley was when he entered the league. And they don't understand how wretchedly horrible and that the Giants offensive line has been. This will be the best offensive line hands down that Saquon Barkley has ever run behind. All of the previous seasons, guys, Saquon Barkley has never run behind an offensive line that's finished higher than 21st in adjusted line yards or 24th in second level yards. That's all changing this year with them signing Mark Lewinsky and John Feliciano, and now they have Evan Neal and Andrew Thomas, this offensive line could easily be top 10 in run blocking grades this year. And you marry all of these things with Saquon Barkley. We know the pass catching upside is there. We've seen the tackle breaking efficiency. We've seen all these different things. We know the scheme upgrade is coming with Brian Daboll, as well as passing rates, pace will probably come up as well. Saquon Barkley is that type of game-changing talent. We've seen this already. I know it's been a minute, and people need to
rewind. Well, it's been a couple years. That's more than a minute.
It has. It has.
And that's the problem. I think when you go 2 years off, that starts to scare people, unless your name is CMC, in which case you could have four bad years, and then everybody still loves you anyway. But if you have frustrations with Christian McCaffrey, but you want a taste of the upside, if you have concerns about the foot of Derrick Henry, but you have concerns about the foot or the health potentially, I feel like Saquon Barkley is the guy for you. Like, you want all the upside with none of the cost. He's that dude, D-bro.
Second year coming off an ACL, we see numerous running backs, wide receivers, everybody perform so much better. You can also throw this into Cortland Sutton as well. And when they come back and they've had a full off season, that Saquon's not rehabbing. He's right. Been spending the entire offseason working on the six pack, working on all these different things, getting trained up and ready to dominate this year. I can't wait, guys. I can't wait. And if you're able to get that type of discount in your drafts where people are like, I don't want to be burned by it. I'm afraid of injuries. All this recency bias creates wonderful buying opportunities in fantasy football, and I'm just going to gobble up all the Saquon Barkley. This is one of the reasons why you can go wide receiver like you like to do, Joe.
Yes, I do.
In the first round.
Or two.
Say,
Barkley goes in the third round many times, if not four. He does. I mean, I've seen incredible outcomes in terms of the ranges for Saquon Barkley, and that's what makes him so interesting, because the later you get him, the less of an anchor it is if he doesn't perform well, and the more of a potential league winner he becomes. Derek, who were some names that just missed your list that you think also, give me some honorable mentions, give me two to three names that you think also people should consider as league winners, maybe different format reasons, or just guys that you just didn't like quite as much as the five we talked about.
So Ramondre Stevenson, I talked about, almost made my list, but I'm going to go to another running back that
that's good. The overlap is important. When you, and I always feel like when smart people, and I'm actually talking about you two for a change, actually,
can we get this clipped? I need this clip to go on social media.
There you go. But when smart people all agree, I'm like, yeah, that guy is real. I think that's something that everybody's ears should perk up and should be listening to. So Stevenson was one of those guys. Who was another one or two names for you?
So Tony Pollard has to make this list. I love Tony Pollard this year. We know that Dallas is going to run fast. They're going to pass a ton. And Tony Pollard's going to be a huge part of this offense. I have him ranked as a top 25 running back this year. And I think that there is sauce to, for him to go even higher. If Zeke misses any time, come on, guys. Where are we going to rank Tony Pollard on a weekly basis if Zeke Elliott's not in this offense? Top five, top six running back every single week? I mean, he is legitimately that good. You look at Pollard's stats last year, he was the only, standing by himself, the only running back in the NFL to finish top five in both yards per route run and yards after contact per attempt. And I'm buying into all these rumors that he's going to be used in the passing game, because we saw elite efficiency out of him last year. You put together all the running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends that got 10 or more slot targets last year. All of them. Tony Pollard was 10th in slot yards per route run last year. So you're telling me that you could get him in every single draft. He has contingent standalone value as a like a top 24 running back. That's where I'm looking at him as. And he could be a league winner if anything happens to Ezekiel Elliott. Yeah. I want all the Tony Pollard. A few of the names. I mean, I'm not going to shut up about Russell Gage. The fact that people do not have him ranked as a top 25, top 30 wide receiver is still egregious to me, because Antonio Brown's not there. Gronk is gone. Chris Godwin's banged up. We have a Bucs passing attack that has supported numerous pass catching options to be top 20 wide receivers, top 15 wide receivers. And for everybody that says that Russell Gage doesn't have that type of talent, I'm going to help you get learned today. You are going to get educated. Russell Gage was 17th in yards per route run and 12th in route win rate last year in a broken Falcons offense last year. Now we're airdropping him in to the Bucs offense.
Well, he's in this range too that I absolutely love, this tier six, as it were, on Fantasy Pros of wide receivers, where it's Drake London, Ayuk, Kirk, Russell Gage, Robert Woods, Alan Lazard, like that whole group, Kadarius Toney. I love this group. Like this group,
love it.
I cannot wait when drafts get to this point because I'm like, oh yes, I like all these. Give me two of these and I'll take one of those. And you know, I love this point because those guys just all reek of being undervalued right now. And the guys going ahead of them, some of them have bigger issues. Like DeAndre Hopkins is going to miss six games to start the year. He's going ahead of all those game guys. And I find that to be,
that's crazy. You know,
heinous, actually. And give me one more name and then we'll get to Andrews real quick.
So if we're talking about league winners, and I've talked about Jalen Hurts and the type of difference making that he can make in your lineups on a weekly basis, if it's not Jalen Hurts, then I'm going to go with this year's version of Jalen Hurts. I'm going to go with Trey Lance. He is one of the players that, and we keep doing these mocks, guys, and he's going way too late. People have him ranked outside their top 13, 14 quarterbacks. And legitimately outside of injury, if Lance starts all the games, his rushing upside is going to put him inside the top 12. Now you look at what he does as a passer. That is what gives him the ceiling. And we know all the skill players around him. But Trey Lance is going to do something in this offense that Jimmy G never did. And that's push the ball down the field. And the small sample we saw him last year, amongst all quarterbacks that had 80 or more dropbacks, Trey Lance was second in ADOT. The only people that were in front of him were, he was tied with Russell Wilson, were Fields and Lamar Jackson. The rushing upside, plus he's going to be chucking it down the field, and you add in all the skill players around him.
Right, much better personnel than some other guys, right? Much better than Fields, that's for sure.
Trey Lance could be top three, top five quarterback this year, and you're not having to pay that price.
Erickson, give me some honorable mentions who just missed your list.
Yeah, so some of the guys, some more overlap with D-Bro here. So Pittman, Jalen Hurts, also in on as league winners. And then same thing with Trey Lance. I think that he's just the ultimate late-round quarterback that you can get that's worth taking a flyer on. And if it flames out, it's like you didn't have to invest that much in him in the first place. And you can pivot and do some other things. So it's like if Trey Lance is off the board, then you know, Fields is kind of the next guy in line that I'm looking at because everyone else kind of looks the same to me. You know, more pocket passers. Okay, like maybe they can be, you know, a back end, you know, top maybe 10, 11, 12. But Fields has the rushing. You look at his last four starts, QB3, QB9, QB8, QB10. And that was in last year's offense, which was horrible because he's running for his life. And he's going to have to continue to keep rushing because the offensive line is still horrible in Chicago. Now, that obviously carries a lot of risk with it. You have some injury concerns. You know, he got banged up a lot last year because he's constantly running for his life. So I obviously feel way better about Lance as the late round quarterback because his supporting cast, I mean, it's not even really comparable. It's really comical, honestly, when you just look at the difference of how these two franchises have kind of like supported these two quarterbacks. And I mean, if Fields was in the 49ers offense, oh my God. Like if Fields was on the Jets, oh my God. Like,
well, if Fields were on the Jets, I'd be way more enthusiastic about the Jets offense than I am. But it's Zach Wilson. So, all right. So that's another one. Give me some more names you got.
I got two more Buffalo Bills. So going back to attacking values on good offenses. So Gabriel Davis, I know I bought his jersey and maybe that is the kiss of death for Gabriel Davis, yeah. But maybe it's not. It's still it. Not. And I do think that looking at what he has done when he's actually had a full-time role playing in the Bills offense, you know, average over or nearly 20 fantasy points per game in his last six games as a full-time player. He's someone that commands red zone targets at a high rate. He's top five in end zone targets over the last two seasons. He hasn't been a starter over the last two seasons. Him and Diggs are both in the top five in that category because of Josh Allen, you know, being the quarterback of this offense. He just produces fantasy talent and he's going to further unlock Gabriel Davis entering his third year. So I know Davis is really expensive in best ball drafts, but in your home leagues, he's not going to be a fourth round pick. Like he's going to be someone you can get in round six and round seven and kind of see how things play out. Because I think we can talk about him next year as a guy that is actually going in round four consistently because he's a guy that scored double-digit touchdowns and caught 60 passes for 1,000 yards because of his big play ability to win down the field. And I want that attached to a Josh Allen arm. And then in the backfield for the Buffalo Bills, Devin Singletary. Look, you can get him outside the top 24 running backs. He's a starting running back on a top five offense in the NFL. No, the pass catching isn't necessarily elite there, and you don't expect it to be elite with James Cook addition to the offense. But how long does it take for James Cook to get acclimated? You know, how long does it take for him to have a massive role in this offense? What if he just has a JD McKissick role? That's not out of his range of outcomes. And to start the year, I think Singletary is going to be the main guy in this offense. He was RB3 the last 6 weeks of last season. I think that's going to carry over to at least start the year. So Singletary, I think if you go running back or receiver heavy early on, Singletary can be your RB2. You just slide in from round 10. You're like, all right, I'm good to go.
Right. Yeah, Singletary guy as well. Again, there's some really great value potentially late to see all the rankings. You go to fantasypros.com/rankings, and you can see all of them and where the ECR has guys, where the ADP is.
Let's dig into the listener mailbag.
Let's pull one quick question here, and quickly we'll do this. This is from our Discord, which you can join for free, again, at fantasypros.com/chat. If you are a premium subscriber, and you know right now we've got that offer going, fantasypros.com/offers, where you can go ahead and you can get 12 free months of Fantasy Pros just for making a deposit in one of our partner sites. And then you get all the tools for in season, all the tools for draft season, everything that syncs up to your draft that has us in there with you, the cheat sheets, the My Playbook feature that manage all your leagues at one time. It's all there. And you also get to hang out with us on Discord. I pulled this right from our Discord chat, one of the AMAs, in fact, my AMA channel. This is from Josh GatorFan1. Where do you draw the line as to who you would be willing to roster as your RB1 or wide receiver one? I think this is great because this is a question of how do you create your tiers? Give me like the 30-second version of that, Andrew. Like where you cut that off and you say, I can tolerate this person as a wide receiver one. What's that criteria?
For wide receivers, I would probably say just kind of looking at my tier rankings, it's probably top 12, honestly. Like that's kind of where I have it ranked. I think the Chargers
outside
guys,
of 12, those aren't guys that you see as wide receiver ones for your fantasy team. You've got to have one of those top 12 guys in your opinion.
Yeah, I would probably, that's probably where I would have the tier off kind of. I have Pittman at 13, so I think he'd probably like sneak in, but it's probably when I get to like the Dolphins wide receivers where, I mean, I really don't feel great about Tyreek Hill or Waddle as like my locked and loaded wide receiver one. So that's probably where I'd kind of tier it off.
Derek, what about at running back? Like how do you venture to say who you feel comfortable with as your RB1? Is it just like maybe there's only five guys you feel comfortable with that and truly saying maybe there's 10? How does that pool look like to you this year?
I mean, I'm willing to push kick the can down the road. I'm willing to push it as far as my RB1 because I think that we were talking about the dead zone. We're talking about all these running backs that we like, and look at the league winners that we talked about that Erickson brought up two different running backs,
right?
I would feel comfortable in that second tier of guys you can get in the third and fourth round as my RB1s if you want to go wide receiver heavy early in a draft. So really that tier is Cam Akers, Breece Hall, Travis Etienne. Any one of those guys, I would feel extremely happy as far as my RB1. Hell, if you get them as your RB2, that's great. But I look at all of them, they can be an anchor running back, and then you just piece together RB2 and you go wide receiver heavy early in your draft and you just crush. So I feel good about any one of those guys.
All right. You know, I had a lot of wide conversations today, a lot of big time things. Also, Dr. Evil references today. And I've got this Dr. Evil bobblehead. And you can see there's a distinct resemblance here. And I'm thinking, you know, last year I was Thanos for Halloween here on the program. Thinking it should be Dr. Evil this year. I'm just saying, I mean, barely have to get dressed up. I just need a gray suit and a cat, and I think we're good to go here. So if you've got league winners, if you've got other ideas for me to dress up as Halloween, drop them in the YouTube comments. Whose list do you like the most? Let us know. Again, that's what the comments are for here on the YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe. We've got live drafts coming up that you can stream and watch. We've got the videos. We've got the podcast. We've got everything on our YouTube channel. Subscribe, and don't forget to click that little bell till it goes ding, so you know every time a great piece of content drops. And we can give you free stuff because you're part of us here. You're part of the family of Fantasy Pros. Once you are a subscriber of the YouTube channel, head over to fantasypros.com/contest where you can get involved in that CD Lamb jersey giveaway thanks to our friends at pristineauction.com. I want to thank the sponsors of today's show, including Pristine Auction. Head over to pristineauction.com today. That's PRISTINE auction.com. Use that promo code FantasyPros for $10 off your first piece of signed memorabilia. And of course, don't forget about Buffalo Wild Wings, the place this year to hold your fantasy draft. Book in advance at buffalowildwings.com/fantasy. Don't forget about the amazing packages they've got on food, not to mention putting those league losers on the hot seat. Again, it's only at buffalowildwings.com/fantasy to host your draft party this year in 2022. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Derrickson, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.